Jerry Mason, Kicking Lawyer. We're here for another Law Talk. I appreciate you guys joining us. If you haven't already, please like, follow, subscribe to the content. We're on all social media platforms, podcast platforms, you know, wherever you want to look at us, just look for Kicking Lawyer and you'll find us. And then, as I always say, longtime supporter of our show and local leader, if you want to buy, sell, rent, lease real estate, just holler at Michelle Allen with Cry Like Realtors. She's, like I said, anything in the community, she's glad to help you out with. If you want to learn to kick people in the face, you can visit Mason's High Octane Martial Arts, masonsmartialarts.com. Been open 30-plus years. Champions and all kinds of stuff, all jokes aside, what I've done the longest, and I really love it. And then Jam Books and Records is a book and record store located on the square in Covington. New books, records, graded comic books, and signed memorabilia. Just come by the Covington Square and check us out. And then my wife has opened a clinic with Dr. Laura Huffman, which is holistic healthcare and hormones. If you want to maximize your living, if you're struggling with stuff, she's been dealing with a lot of clients that have menopausal issues. Just check them out. And then if you want help with your social media branding, website design, commercials, etc., visit masonitemarketing.com. Now, joining me today is, I don't really say that I have, that many people are actually my friend, Ed. And so you are,
I understand that, actually.
I consider you my friend and mentor, really. So I've known you now a couple years. I think you're genuinely a good dude. And I didn't understand the move you did. I sort of do as I know you. But, you know, you, I'll let you explain who you are, what you do now. Because you told me that multiple times. You, what was it you always said? That the job was like what you do, but not who you are, or something like that.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, you're now the director of the Boys and Girls Club, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what that entails and about the Boys and Girls Club and the transition, because you've been on this before, but we're sort of managing, owner manager at the Chevrolet dealership. And now you've moved into this position.
Yeah. So I think the line that I said was that a lot of people, what they do is who they are. And I've never been that person. And I think I also said to you, if you are what you do, you're schizophrenic because you do 9 million things simultaneously.
Yeah, well, there's probably some truth to that.
No, after 33 years in the retail automotive business, a couple of years ago, I met with our partners and just said, hey, I'm really wanting to do full-time ministry, and this is right. Is probably not gonna be my last stop. So I'd like to do that. And we came to an agreement that, you know, maybe in a couple of years we would do a three day work week. And man, I don't know anybody that owns a business that's working part time that's going to be in business. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, fast forward 2 years, and we were further away from that than we were when we had the original discussion. The market changes and economy changes and all sorts of things have driven folks into a higher gear, rather than something that would allow full-time ministry at all. And so this opportunity became available, and kind of an answer to prayer, not kind of, really an answer to prayer. My close circle has been praying that God would provide an opportunity. And this, being the CEO of the Boys and Girls Club is just crazy because, you know, we do Church Under a Tree here in Covington. It primarily serves kids, and probably 70% of the kids that go to Church Under a Tree are at the Boys and Girls Club. So I knew a whole lot of children walking in the door. So
yeah, and I'm already super impressed with what you've done. Like, I brag about you all the time. I really do. I have become a cheerleader for you in
thank
a lot
you.
Of ways.
Thank you. You're a lonely man in that endeavor, but I thank you.
I don't know about that, man. Like, unlike me, I look up to you a lot of ways. And I, and in the beginning, I told you this. Like, I wasn't sure about you. Like, I was like, who's this
same
guy?
Same, bro.
And I was like, because, you know, you were business-wise very successful, and then I needed people to help me get to another next levels business-wise. You know, but I also, you know, am trying to grow as a person, too. I want to be a better person, and have struggled with that off and on for several years, because my personality, and I think you also probably have this, but you handle it better than I do, is I don't want to say overcome or dominate, but I want to be the best. I'm going to do the best. I'm going to accomplish this goal, go to the next thing, win, you know, drive. And I try to sometimes reel that in to make sure I'm not running over people. You know what I mean? because I want to be better. I don't want to just, you know, it's hard to explain. But I feel like in some ways I may be where you were at some point. And so I looked into you and sort of saw what I would like to have as a future. Because you, I have never seen you be, you know, rude with anybody, mean with anybody, upset with anybody. I mean, I'm sure it happens. You're human. But you seem to have a lot of grace in the way you carry yourself, at least, or at least the way I've perceived it. And then you're a force, too, because anything you're involved in, just like you're doing already with the Boys and Girls Club, with the success with things you're doing, you're just like a force of nature there, like this positive force of nature. So anyway, I've wanted to emulate you in a lot of ways, and I've come to believe you are genuinely a good dude, or at least a guy trying to be a good dude. And like, you're a mentor to me, not only business wise, but sort of, you know, in my own faith also, because I think you're a great example for that. And the way you interact with those kids, man, and the fact that you're there for them, those are kids that you and I both know often don't have anybody else. You know, this is what we talked about before. And this is one thing I want you to elaborate on a little bit for us. One of the things I mentioned to Ed was when he went into this position, I think it's very noble what you're doing, but I also think it's kind of overwhelming because in the community, especially this community of children you're serving, they're just as valuable as any other children. Like, they deserve to be loved and cared for and see that there's a future and all these things. But you're literally in gang territory. You know, you're literally facing some of the worst folks in society that are pulling at these kids, and you're only with them however many hours you get them, you know? So, like, what is your vision or plan to try to address some of those issues?
Ooh, that's good, man. So, man, we're going to be here a while. Get comfortable, y'all. We're going to be here a while. So I think the Boys and Girls Club in Covington, and most of the Boys and Girls Clubs in the United States, have done a terrific job serving kids. And that wasn't my desire at all. I wanted to transform some outcomes. And so you can't come in hot. You got to kind of come in and meet people where they are and build from there. I got a staff that's got a whole bunch of emerging leaders. I'm so proud of them, how they've grown. But if you take a look at the challenges that specifically Covington kids have, now we've got kids from all over the county. Our Youth of the Year last year just graduated from Mumford. We've got kids from Brighton. We got kids from Drummond. We got kids from all over the county. But the Covington kids had a particularly difficult time. Everybody had this, you know, these academic gaps because of COVID. You just did. It just was real. And then, you know, March 31st, 2023, this EF3 tornado ripped through our town and tore down the largest elementary and middle school in our county. And so those kids were displaced and still in temporary structures. And so the learning gaps and the challenges that they've had academically are a big hurdle to overcome. The state of Tennessee in 2021 passed a law that says if a third grader can't read at third grade level and their TCAP tests, by statute, they have to be held back. They can't be promoted to fourth grade by law. And we've got some kids with some reading gaps. We've got some third graders that can't pronounce the sounds of the alphabet. We've got some sophomores in high school that are reading at about a fifth grade level. And so I met with Dr. John Combs and from Tipton County Public Schools and met with Marianne Dunham and Gabby Bruno from Ford Motor Company and designed a Reading Success Academy that launches in August. And what that entails is two reading specialists. So reading specialists are they have a college degree, and then they have a teaching certificate, and then they have a reading specialist master's, and there are only a handful of them in the county. And they will be at the Boys and Girls Club 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, 42 weeks out of the year. They will assess every child from kindergarten to seniors in high school. They will design a custom curriculum for every child, and they'll teach that curriculum one-on-one or small group, and then provide metrics that measure right progress improvements. Our kids will read as a result, and I think that's a huge step. And so that's kind of the first cornerstone. And then I'll keep going. There are two others. We have a mental health initiative that's going to be announced really soon. That's going to provide certified mental health professionals and access for our kids to those. If you've got a 9-year-old kid and he's got trauma in his home, 7 days a week, I can't love him enough or feed him enough or play basketball enough or help him read enough to overcome that trauma. And so we need some professional help, and that's coming soon. There'll be a really nice announcement. And then the third is this workforce development financial literacy piece. And so we're partnering with Ford in Blue Oval City. Ford, in fact, sponsored the entire Reading Success Academy. Marianne Donovan and Gabby Bruno said, we'll do that. John Combs had it put together in less than, Dr. Combs had it put together in less than 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. But back to the workforce development piece, there are a couple of things that are happening this summer. And one of them is we're at the beginning stages of a partnership with Unilever. And I've met with the plant manager, Andres Barrero. He's amazing. And they're doing really, really good things. The community doesn't know, but that place is on fire. They're doing great work. And so our kids will go out July 3rd, our junior high, our middle school, and high schoolers, and tour the plant, sub-zero, you know, uniforms, and making sure that they're not going to freeze, and learn what a line tech makes. A senior line tech, I mean, you're at $28 to $42 an hour. $42 an hour is $100,000 a year.
Yeah.
Eat some ice cream, come back to the club. And then we have a financial institution that'll do a financial literacy scenario where kids, hey, you're a single parent dad with four kids, and you're a single parent mom with six kids, and you're a line tech at Unilever, and you kind of walk through what their lives look like. At each station in our gym, you have housing and transportation and food and medicine and medical. How do you do that? And then we formed a tremendous partnership with TCAT. Dr. Yolanda Jones and Amanda Heath and that whole crew here, and then Patrick Davis at Stanton, where our kids will be exposed, will be shown how to get access to that. And so the second piece is we've been invited by Ford Blue Oval City to bring 10 or 12 kids that are handpicked from our STEM program to go into the robotics lab, which is probably state of the art in the world.
Sure.
And spend 2.5 hours with a Ford engineer and doing some really, really high-end stuff. So if you have this cornerstone where our kids get some academic gaps that are filled, and then you have this cornerstone where we're addressing mental health needs, and then you have this third cornerstone for workforce development and financial literacy, we got a chance. We're not going to win them all.
Sure.
I'll take some Kitchen Crips and some Gangster Disciples and some Bloods and with Jesus on my side, slap box with them and see who wins with our kids, because that's what's on the line.
Yeah.
That's what's real.
So, and let me ask a few foundational questions just because I don't know, honestly.
Yeah.
Is there a cost for the kids to come to the Boys and Girls Clubs, or is it all funded?
So, our fee for the Boys and Girls Club is $20 a year. And if you can't afford it, it's free. Our summer camp is 8 weeks. It's unbelievable. It's crazy. And it's supposed to be $150. That's less than the cheapest Happy Meal per day.
Yeah.
But I would guess three-fourths of the kids we just scholarship. Because of this amazing gift from Robinson Foundation, which we received, we were at a position where I really didn't – I mean, you never want to say that as a nonprofit.
Sure.
I needed the kids a lot more than I needed their $150.
That's a great problem.
That's a really great problem.
Well, so speaking of that, what can people in the community do that is, I mean, obviously you still like fundraising, but what do you need from the community?
Yeah, so number one, Jerry, is I need you to pray for our kids. I need you to even if you're a prayer challenged person, I need you to, these kids didn't choose this, right? These kids truly didn't choose the life that they have. And prayer is powerful, so I'd start there. Besides that, just come to the club. Just come hang out with these kids. Like, you've been there.
Yeah.
And if you come in with one perception of what these kids might be, and then you experience what they can do for you, they change your heart, man.
Yeah, and they're very excited to see you too. A lot of them excited to, and they're just like any other kids. They just want to, I mean, they want to have fun and learn, you know. It's not, it didn't have to be intimidating, I don't think.
No, and be loved on, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. And so come to the club. I mean, I promise you, Josh, I'll put my phone number up in a graphic at the end, but it's 901-800-6186. That's my cell number. 901-800-6186. You text me and say, I just want to see what you're up to. Come and spend time with the kids. I'll share just a real quick story. The Nafy's Judson and Dana and Nafy's Cash Saver, we do a thing called Fun Food Friday. And Dana and Judson said, we'll provide the food, but one condition, we have to serve it. And I said, perfect. And so they came on a Friday, and we have a young man named Braylon. Braylon's, I think he's going to be a fifth grader, was a fourth grader. And he walked up to Judson, and he said, sir, there's a problem with the tenders. And I was standing right there, and Judson says, what's the problem? And he says, sir, they are too delicious. And so, again, Judson and Dana kind of became our advocates on the street for the next few weeks. I had people coming back and telling me the story that I had heard. And that's what happens. Those kids are a blessing, man. So come see our kids. Come spend time with them. And then right now, the Robinson Foundation, again, I'll just mention it briefly. We can touch on it later. But gave us a challenge. They provided us with a significant financial gift that we are required to spend all on programming for the kids. Can't spend it on giving my team a raise. Can't spend it on putting in new bathrooms. Got to spend it on the kids. And with that gift, that grant from a private foundation, Robinson Foundation, they issued a challenge that we match it. That they gave us $225,000, which was the largest gift in the history of our Boys and Girls Club, and said, if you match that, if you can get the community to step up and do $225,000, we'll give you another $206,000. And all of that was due to, they said, if you just bring us a long-term vision and a strategy, we'll provide you with more funding than we have in the past. And that was an easy thing for me to do. I was there in 6 days and gave them
I don't know if the people that are watching realize how big a deal that is to have already raised that much. Because when did you take your spot? When did you jump
February on? 1st.
Yes. I mean, you hadn't even been in there, what is that, 5 months? Four and a half, 5 months? That's really nice. That's good. Walk me through this, though. Because, I'm trying to get a visual on day-to-day. I get the big vision, but let's back up more day-to-day.
Yeah.
So kids get there around when? I think you feed them too, and then you have homework help. And like, what's a day look like in a normal week during school?
Great question. So last year, a marketing study was done, and the Boys and Girls Club of America had the third most recognized brand of all charities in the United States behind St. Jude and Salvation Army. So everybody knows who we are, but nobody knows what we do.
Yeah.
So they think it's this after-school program where you feed kids and keep them off the streets, and that's maybe less than 1% of what we do. And so in the summertime, it's a whole different John. It's just crazy. So from 8:30 to 5, we have 176 kids, and we are running wide open all day. So they get there in the morning. We breakfast together. And then launching this crazy agenda of, Jerry, we're going on, I had to write them down because I knew I'd forget. We're going on 9 field trips. We're taking 176 children on 9 field trips. Graceland, Stax Museum of American Soul Music, the Civil Rights Museum, the Pink Palace. We're taking them all fishing. Cordova Skating Center, Alex Haley Museum, Dive into History, where we're taking half of them go to the Aquatic Center here in Covington, and half of them go to the museum, and then we have a big picnic lunch, and then they trade places. And so we're moving. Mm.
And you've already done stuff. I mean, I know that we, of course, started the martial arts, but then I think you had them go to Amada's. I think they're doing turquoise paintbrush, a bunch of other local community stuff, too, for the summer camp, right?
Yeah, so we're taking about 25 kids next week every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, to turquoise paintbrush. A lot of the kids have never experienced that. There's some really cool things that are coming out of that. We're rehearsing, started rehearsals for a huge show called Showtime at the Ruffin. Mm. A direct, please don't sue me, knockoff of Showtime at the Apollo, where our kids will be on stage and displaying their talent. But some of the artwork that they will make at Turquoise Paintbrush will auction during the intermission, and it's really cool stuff. Like, I can't tell you all of that, but they'll also have some stuff that they'll make Christmas ornaments that I think we talked about. Maybe Jam Books and Records can sell a few and just things.
You know, that game just made me think too. You might even be able to do a little demo. little martial arts demo.
100%.
That'd be something that we could do.
Yeah, so I'm going to circle back. So some of the other things, because I jumped right into field trips, but some of the other things that we're doing this summer, every child that wants to, and you're going to have to correct me because I never get the Taekwondo outfit name right. It's a doja?
Dobok.
Dobok.
It's D-O-B-O-K.
Dobok, which is like in karate, it's called
same,
a gi.
It's the same thing as the Korean. It just means uniform.
Yeah, so they get the uniform like the Karate Kid, and they take martial arts Taekwondo instruction all summer long, 8 weeks, and they will actually earn an orange belt. And so every child gets to keep the uniform and earn a belt. We allow them to participate in a hunter safety course. Every kid will be able to pass a hunter safety course and get their hunting license. We're going to sponsor and scholarship some kids to the Tipton County Clay Busters so they can they can actually shoot some ski. Cooking with the chief. So Richard Griggs is coming over and actually cooking spaghetti on a grill. Like, what would you do if you didn't have power? And you wanted, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're doing a chop challenge with Chef Bennett from the hospital. 3 days where the kids are in competition with each other.
Cool. He'll like that too. He's a cool dude.
We are doing some life skills and some community service. We'll be visiting Magnolia and painting fingernails and painting pictures, working in the Tipton County Community Garden, teaching kids how to do a load of laundry, teaching kids how to change a tire, teaching kids how to change the oil in their car. We're actually building a recording studio. Again, all of this from Robinson Foundation, just we're putting in a tread wall. Just crazy.
A tread wall, is that like a climbing wall that moves?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, cool. I'll have to come use that.
Yeah, so it's about, you don't have to worry about a long fall.
Mm-hmm.
You're never more than 4 or 5 feet mm-hmm. off the ground.
You ever done that? Just a side note.
I have. They have one at the wall climbing? Yeah, they have. I have.
Mm-hmm.
They have a tread wall at Sportsflex, which is where I got the idea.
I didn't know they had one. I've never done a tread wall. I've done the climbing wall.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's a good workout.
It's a good workout, mm-hmm. and it's mentally
yeah, especially a good when you're a big dude. It's something else.
Yeah.
Well, that's all, again, summer camp. But circle back, during the school year, they get out of school, they get there.
So we're 3 to 7. Mm-hmm. So, again, the first thing we do is feed. If you've got kids and they've I know the first thing I did when I walked in the door was get something to eat.
Yeah.
So they get a good meal. And then we do a power hour.
Before you go into that, that made me think of something real quick. And we'll remember the power
hours. Yeah,
I'm good. So when I was in, I don't know if I've told you this, when I was in law school, I got on I forget what they called it. It was like a law school clinic thing or something. And basically what they were trying to do in Memphis is they had a problem with inner city kids getting asthma. And they wanted us to go in and basically create this legal analysis to then go to the city and say this was why, because it's pollution or it's food or whatever it is. And we were supposed to do this whole analysis thing on, and we went to homes. Like, we went to the homes and we were working with, I think it was St. Jude was the hospital. It was either Lebanon or St. Jude. And we had a representative with them, like a medical person. Anyway, here's the point of my story. We would go into these homes. And I remember vividly, we met with this one grandmother, super sweet lady, older lady. I mean, memory serves, she's probably in her 80s. And she was taking care of like 3 grandkids. And we asked her about nutrition. And she said, oh yeah, honey, we take care of them. They always get a fruit and vegetable when they get home. And I was like, great, you know, what do you give them? And she said, they get a slice of soda and they get a bag of potato chips. So they get their fruit and vegetable. And she was serious.
Dead serious.
And so you're talking about nutrition. In the course of that, do they learn actual nutrition?
So again, part of what we've been able to accomplish, Jerry, is not because of great vision. It's because of great partners.
Mm-hmm.
So Tipton County Master Gardeners actually came and planted in red Solo Cup seeds that are now, I mean, corn plants that are 7 feet tall.
Mm.
Chef Bennett really is part of his method is that healthy food isn't just for wealthy people.
Mm-hmm.
That you can actually have balanced meals. And we're still, I mean, I'm still, I keep candy in my office. I keep Sprites in my office. Those kids are going to want that, but that's not their diet.
Mm-hmm. I don't mean to sidetrack. I was just curious.
No, so probably one of the more important partnerships we have is with Tipton County Public Schools, obviously with a reading academy, and we're going to do a coding academy where kids can actually compete. We've got a STEM program that we can talk about, but the other thing they do is their feeding program after school. We could do it with the federal government. It's USDA program. We could do it, but it's cumbersome and lots of paperwork. And Tipton County Public Schools delivers meals for every one of our children every day. During the summer, they deliver breakfast, lunch. During the school year, they deliver a 3 o'clock meal, and it's a to-go box, and it is a healthy. It was barbecue pork and tater tots today, and our kids there wasn't anything left.
Sure.
And so they eat, and then the power hour is. Again, we've just been able to kind of replenish all of our computer technology. So I don't know, I think we just had 8 Microsoft Surfaces delivered. We bought a dozen iPads. We completely renovated our computer lab. We have 20 stations in the computer lab. So in that hour, kids will spend some time with instructors who help them get their homework done. Let's get your schoolwork knocked out. Let's get that done. So about half of them doing that, and the other half are working on a software program that's part of our grant from Ripken Foundation on STEM called Freckle, and it's an online character leadership program. It's not faith-based, but it's super good. Mm-hmm. And the kids were struggling with it. They spend 20 minutes a day, 3 days a week with it. They were struggling with it because we didn't have good Wi-Fi. And so during spring break, Nick Shaw and his partner came in, and man, when I first got there, there had been no restrictions in the computer lab, and so one of the usernames was death, and there were filters. Kids could Google anything. And now they're on a complete separate LAN with high level. I mean, there's 4 websites they can get on. You can put a flash drive in. You can't access it. All hardwired. Battery backup for 48 hours. The city can be out of power and our kids can still be on computers. It's completely renovated the Wi-Fi so that they've got strong technology access. Mm-hmm. And can I give you one more?
Sure.
We've developed, and we may have the most extensive STEM inventory in the county. It may be more robust than any of the public schools. We've got drones, underwater drones, land drones. We've got, robots, underwater robots, land robots. We've got 3 levels of drones in our fleet for beginners, intermediate, and then the top of the line has video display on the controllers so you can see what the camera's seeing. It's crazy. 2 young guys, a 15-year-old freshman, Brighton High School, named Dalton Good, who is part of their cybersecurity team, will be helping us set up our coding academy, and then a recent graduate, this year graduate from Brighton High School. His name is Lucas Hunt, and Lucas is going to UT as an engineer. Competed in at the state level in robotics and qualified for nationals. He's the smartest dude in the room every time he walks in. But he's been able to break down drones and build towers on shake tables to see if your tower can survive an earthquake, and build towers to see if they can survive a wind vortex like a tornado. And the kids, they just eat it up. And then he sits with them with pencil and paper. And we now have third graders, and this is 4 weeks in. We now have third graders that are performing math, sophomore and junior level geometry, and proficiently. And I said, how proficiently? And he said, hey, we got 2 or 3 of them that can teach it now. And so they want to fly the drones and they want to build the robots, and then they want to understand the math that goes into it. And so it's, you're almost tricking them.
Yeah.
And they are having a ball and just excelling. It's super exciting because I don't understand. That's not my jam. I don't understand. I know we've invested a bunch of money.
Yeah, no, like, you talk about math, I'm sure that the second graders could outdo me.
Yeah, for sure, these kids could.
That's why I went to law school, not med school, partially. I can't do the math.
Yeah, so the STEM program is a big part of our afternoons. And then kids got to be kids.
Sure, got to let them play.
So it's not class, it's not school.
Yeah.
So they go hard. Mm-hmm. We've got a full gym and accessed out the great outdoors and a nice playground with a fence around it. And
Yeah.
Yeah. So kids are going to be kids, and we want them to be kids. So
that's great. Well, I mean, I've obviously been there now a couple times, and we're looking forward to doing the instruction, the martial arts instruction. But, you know, I think what you're doing is great. And I think it's very well, very much needed in the community. I think a lot of times I see, you know, I do juvenile court too. So any criminal issues, whatever courts, we do it. And what I have seen, I made a rant video a couple weeks ago just because I was pissed, honestly. Because the one of the biggest factors, in my opinion, that I see regularly with these juvenile offenders that have violated some law or allegedly violated some law is there's no daddy. And so I made a video basically begging men to be men and say, look, like, you can't just, even though, and I'm not just talking to inner city dads either. I'm talking to dads in general who are like, well, I'm not there because I got to work and I got to support. That kid needs a daddy, you know, needs somebody there. And it's not a knock on single moms either that I was trying to say, but almost universally, these juveniles that I represent, black, white, whatever, doesn't matter, no daddy, you know. And so the fact that you're there in that capacity as a strong male role model, I think is very important and probably undervalued. Definitely undervalued by society, I think, a lot of times. But do you feel that sometimes, without intending to, that sort of a role you're having to fill there?
Well, it's interesting because I was raised in a fatherless home. So my mom was a single parent mom of eight kids. And so I know the power.
Mm-hmm. Well, and not to get in your own background, but
no, it's all right.
You, I know, there were struggles you've had also,
yeah, man,
coming up from that. And not to get deep into your own stuff, more just asking your perspective, because I had a good, great father. I really did.
Yeah.
You know, Josh and I, our dad was an angel to us, really. And anyway, do you think that had any effect on things? Or do you think it has an effect in their home from your perspective?
Yeah, I mean, I think anybody that doesn't think that is ignorant to the subconscious mind. Who knows what drives us? Who knows?
Mm.
But there is power, biblical, scriptural, societal. There is power in a man who pours in to children. And for sure, that's one of the biggest blessings I get every day. If you're doing this right, when you come to visit us at the Boys and Girls Club, if you're doing this right, the next time you come, those kids ought to run to you. They ought to break away from their teachers and go, Mr. Jerry, Mr. Jerry, Mr. Jerry, and hug you. And I mean, I probably get 100 hugs a day.
Mm-hmm.
From kids 5 to 18. And so I know the power of a man's influence. For sure, not taking anything away from my mom, because I don't know how she did it.
Yeah.
But there was a void as a kid that I didn't even realize I had, where you don't have a male anchor. And I don't know that I don't want to pretend that I'm able to do that in a few hours a day, but I sure take it seriously. Mm-hmm. Like that thought is in my mind multiple times every day. So, kind of just in preparing for our summer camp, we did some extensive training that goes way beyond anything the Boys and Girls Club requires. Richard Griggs and his team at Covington Fire Department trained our entire staff in CPR, first aid, and AED. Kayla Starnes from Carl Perkins trained our entire staff on how to prevent, recognize, and respond to suspected child abuse. Dr. Shunda McCoy from Tifton County Public Schools and her team came in and trained us on how to de-escalate aggressive behaviors of youth. It's a different perspective than law enforcement and de-escalation, right? Because you got kids. And so if you got a kid who's coming in the door and the trauma in his life has had him up, he's up to here. His trauma level is right here. And somebody takes a pencil off of his desk, something that's really just no big deal. And he just pow. It's not about the pencil and it's not about his behavior. It's about last night.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so God has gifted us with a whole bunch of autistic kids this summer, just a bunch of them. And they're going to respond very differently to noise, to right, to stimulation and environment.
To a puppy dog.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. To everything.
Yeah.
And so our team has been trained, and we're now learning how to kind of see the world through their eyes, rather than there being a disruption to our agenda. Mm-hmm. Like, your behavior is not okay, and many times it's not. Mm-hmm. But the why behind it is more important than the what.
Yeah.
So
that's an interesting perspective on it. And probably other people could learn from that too. And not to circle back, but I was thinking, my comment on the father thing, it's not that they're essential necessarily. I mean, they are essential. That's not what I meant. What I meant is, you can still have successful children and they're not necessarily be a standard father figure there. I think, though, overall, overarching, it definitely helps. It can definitely help if there's somebody there to put a bull in their pasture, to be an example, you know, to sort of be a disciplinarian.
But also to be the spiritual head of the family.
Yeah, well, and I think that's an overlooked area nowadays. People don't like talking about it so much. You know, that's sad to say. But yeah, I agree. I think that they need to be, and that's what the Bible says. They're supposed to be the spiritual leader of the household. So, but you can't do that if you're not there.
You have to be present. I mean, yeah, regardless, you have to be present.
So, you gotta be there.
So I'll give you one other. We have a very significant number of foster kids this year. Kids who have been in the system, have been in multiple states or Middle Tennessee, and now here. This week, our teens are preparing for a mental health video presentation that we'll do in Washington, D.C. Next month. Their presentation on gun violence last year got national recognition. And so I'm set in a room with primarily young women, 14, 15, 16, 17 years old. And they transparently just started talking about their life experience and about how the death of a brother affected them, how being in foster homes, about having parents that are both just brutally chained to addiction. And I'm sitting there listening, and that's why we need to be there. Mm-hmm. That's why men in particular need to be there, in particular in a young lady's life.
Yeah, well, I mean,
young boys.
The only last thing I would say on that, I sort of made a post on it the other day, jokingly, but I was serious. This dog,
yeah,
Perry Mason,
Perry,
goes everywhere with me, right? Like, it's my new little sidekick. Yeah. And I got brought him to Boys and Girls Club. And he's so used to people, he's like this most of the time, you know. But I took him to the vet the other day. And the vet went on and on about how he had never seen a French bulldog this fit. It was the term he said that they're not supposed to, they don't normally have waist, and he does. Yeah. And he's like, what do you do? And I was like, he runs with me. We run 2 miles together twice a week. He does Perry, we call them Perry push-ups while I lift weights. You know, he's got a whole routine. And he eats what I eat. I eat steak and eggs. He eats steaks and eggs. And he was like, this is crazy. He was like, well, he's perfect. He says, his weight's perfect. His everything's perfect. All this stuff's perfect. So it's great. My point, though, was this. I went running with him day before yesterday or something and had a little post with him. And I was like, look, people, you know, if I didn't have anybody else, no social media, no kids, no students, no reach, I still have influence and I am an example for this little dog.
Yes.
Like, literally, this little dog is looking to me and is a reflection of me because he follows me and does what I do, right? So the reason that Perry's so yoked and all this kind of stuff is he literally does what I do. Well, on a broader spectrum, everybody is an example to somebody. Everybody is an example to somebody, whether it's a little dog or like you, 177 kids.
A good example or a bad example.
Exactly.
You're an example.
That's exactly
what
I was getting
to. You're an influence. Yeah.
You're an influence. And so be the positive light in somebody's eyes and use that as the motivation. I think a lot of times it's so easy for us to focus on motivation for ourselves. And then when it's personal, it's easy, I think, to be like, oh, well, it's not affecting anybody. Man, I'm going to eat the candy bar or I'm going to skip the workout or whatever it is you're going to do. I'm not going to go to church, you know, whatever that is. But when you feel beholding.
Don't be hard on yourself, Jerry.
I still read the Bible, and I told you. You're still beholding to other. When you know you're an example to other people, you start thinking about what they're thinking and how they're seeing you. I think that's very important and important for people to recognize is you're an example to somebody. So be a good example. You know?
Yeah. And I think it's countercultural. You know, we're in this I mean, I don't want to be the OG in the room, but there was a time when if you went to a concert, it was all about the concert, and now it's about look at me at the concert. Right? And so there's this filter that we run, the me filter that we run things through, and giving of others. Interesting. My wife Julie, who way better than I deserve, and you know that's true.
I would agree with you.
Yeah.
I saw your grandkids, by the way, at Walmart the other day, and I said, man, they're so lucky they don't look like Ed.
Yeah, facts. So,
beautiful.
We were doing some premarital counseling with a couple, and Julie, in her sweet way, said, well, what do you think it means to sacrifice for him? And the bride to be said, well, it means I have to give something up for him. And Julie, as sweet as she could be, said, well, you could look at it that way. I kind of look at it like, I get to give something up for Ed. It's like life-giving. Mm. And so the shallow end of the pool is look at me at the concert. Right? Like I walk in the room, look, I'm here. Mm. The deep end of the pool is letting kids experience the world in a way and through eyes that they never could see before.
Yeah.
And giving of yourself to them because I ain't going to be here forever.
Sure.
Right? And so what happens in the generations that come behind me right now is a whole lot more important than what I see in the mirror.
Well, and that's also something you and I had kind of talked about, that I feel like I'm trying to evolve to this next level. I went through a phase where, because I was broke. I grew up, didn't have money. My car had been repoed twice prior to law school.
Like, same car?
Yeah. Actually,
you bought the car three times?
When we went to... No, listen. We came to your place. Matter of fact, this happened at your place. We were buying...
BE before Ed.
Something. It may have been before you. Yeah. But we were buying another vehicle there or looking to buy one, and they ran the credit thing to do it. And they saw that same vehicle, and it had been repoed two times. And whoever was there goes, you still have it? And I was like, yeah, we got it back. Both times he was an asshole, but we got it back. But my point was... So then I went through, I don't consider myself affluent by any standard now, but I was definitely more successful at least than I was then, right? Well, at least I'm not worried about my car missing when I walk out here right this second. So that's a blessing to me.
Yeah.
But my point is, like, when I got to that first phase, I was like, oh, everybody's got to see that. I got to have the watches and the shoes and the cars and the show it all, you know what I mean? And then I have started to evolve past that now where I realized that doesn't matter. And you and I had this discussion where I feel like... you know, what do we call it? Like a legacy. Yeah, not just the legacy, but it's a term I think you used where when I'm dead, what do they look at? Nobody cares about that stuff that you had.
Correct.
The people that I've had an impact on, though, is who's going to be there. So it's sort of this legacy effect versus, you know, what stuff I have right this second. That doesn't really matter. So I'm trying to do better at that. And my brain struggles with it. And I don't know if you and I have talked about this. I don't know if yours does this. But, like, it's always ahead of what's going on. Mm-hmm. I struggle with being here. You know what I mean? Like, being present with what's going on. My brain's already wanting to go to the next thing. And that's not fair to the person giving me of their time to be here. Our brother was here earlier today, Justin. And I tried to stop. Molly even said something about it. She said that we were in there a long time because she's not used to me trying to give people time. And I was like, well, he was nice enough to come by. I don't see him much. I was trying to give him time and be present.
Yeah.
And even then, I emailed pop-up. I look, you know, it's a struggle I have. Anyway, my whole point in all that was, I think there's levels to this of understanding life. We're all struggling with things along the way. We're all weak in various ways and sinners, you know, and hopefully the Lord's merciful on us and accept us as we are. But I think there's an evolution there on what you view as valuable. And these young people, and some old people, I think do have a different value system. And then as you get older, you start to, like you say, well, I think I'm the old G, but that's a different way to value time, I guess. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, Bonnie Raitt's got a lyric in a song that says, life gets more precious when there's less of it to waste.
It's true.
Right?
It's true.
And so when you're young, you think you're going to live forever.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're closer to the finish line than the starting line, then the moments that you have just have more value.
Yeah.
And so how can I create value in others in the time that God's given me? So we're all freaking busy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anyone who isn't just wide open right now.
Yeah.
Everybody is. And digital technology separates us. It doesn't connect us. And so it's super easy not to a line in the water. You know, I took six kids fishing at a Bill Dance youth fishing rodeo this Saturday, and what a great day.
Yeah.
Didn't have my phone. Didn't, you know, pulled it out twice.
Yeah.
What a great day.
Yeah, I think we all need to slow down a little more on what we're doing. The American way is great. The whole, and I've been one of the worst ones to tell people, oh, you want to be successful? How are you working 14
Grind.
Hours? Yeah, are you grinding? Yeah. I don't want to hear it if you're not, but you know, you don't want to miss the people. I think now, especially me, like you say, as you get older, and it's not even so much that I have less time, but there are people that I wish I could talk with one more time that aren't here.
Yes.
You know? And so I think about that now, even when my brother came in, you know, that I take that for granted sometimes.
Yes.
That you're going to get to see him.
Yeah. So, yeah. I'm going to share one thing with you. So, the mission statement of the Boys and Girls Club is to enable all young people, especially those who need it most, to reach their full potential as productive, caring, responsible citizens, especially those who need it most. And I thought, that's a really broad, how do I quantify that? What does that even mean? And so kind of decided to use kids who qualify for subsidized feeding programs in public schools. It's readily available, generally accepted. Not a lot of people fuss about it. It's not comprehensive because you've got kids who aren't in school. You got kids whose parents are working two jobs who would benefit. But if you use that, I copied this so I wouldn't miss it. Austin P. Elementary, 93% of their student population, 665 children. The Alternative Learning Center, 100%, 117 kids. Charger Academy, 100% of their student body, 520 kids. Crestview Elementary, 100% of their student body, 580 kids. Crestview Middle School, 99% of their students, 471 kids. And Covington High School, 76% of their students, 624 kids. That's 2,977 children. And we are in a city that the most 2023 population is 8,568. So 35% of the population of our town, 35% of the citizens of Covington qualify for the kids who need it most. Mm-hmm. And I'm not mad at anybody who goes to the Dominican or Honduras or I'm not, because Jesus needs to be known to the corners of the earth. But there are children in our town, mm-hmm. right here in front of us, that if you would just come hang out at the club, and you would fall in love with them.
Yeah.
And you would fight people who wouldn't defend them, right? You would, mm-hmm. like, so this is probably the hill I die on, right?
Yeah.
This is probably the last stop for me. And the challenge that I give my board and the challenge that I give people who want to come alongside us is, what does 2050 look like in the lives of these kids because of what you did?
Yeah.
What does 2025 look like when they're seven? And what does 2050 look like? What do their homes look like? What do their jobs look like? What's their education look like? And that's your responsibility. That's my responsibility. We can't leave it for somebody else. So.
Yeah, and even more personally, it affects the community you live in.
Whew.
So if you're a citizen, part of why you should do it, even if you're a selfish citizen, you know, and I'm not talking to Josh specifically, I'm just saying, is that it helps your community.
You did point at him twice, though.
Well, Ed, I appreciate you coming and joining us again, as always. I really want to set up, I was telling Josh this, I want to set up a religious podcast. Not regular, but like have one where I'm almost done with Genesis.
Where I share a little Jesus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, not just you, though. I thought about you, I thought about Rod, and I want to get somebody that opposes you and then have an actual discussion. And here's why. Not to sidetrack us, because I know Josh is ready to go. But I, you know, I'm really trying to do soul searching here. And a lot of and I'm trying to be real honest with the questions that I have. Especially when I met you and Dustin for lunch. I'm trying to be real honest with people about. And if I have those questions, other people will too. And so if we can address those questions to people and it touched just one person and they'd be like, okay, that answers the question. Now I'm open to the gospel. You know what I mean? I think it could help. But I say I'm almost done with Genesis. I'm through Joseph, so I just finished that. And so whatever's next, I forget which book I'm in. But for those that don't know, I'm reading the Bible cover to cover, and I'm trying to actually study it. I'm not just reading it. I'm like reading, and then where is it at, and who wrote it, and why was it there, and all the back story to it. So
and you and I talked that it's not about knowledge. And so the things in the Bible that I don't understand, in the belly of a fish, the parting of the Red Seas, Noah's Ark, you know, all the stuff that I don't understand, the timelines, they don't bother me. It's the stuff in the Bible that I do understand that I don't do.
Yeah.
That bothers me. And so it's less about legalism and the way you live your life and more about, I say that Christians in America are overcommitted and under-surrendered. And so if you just surrender yourself to the truth that there is a creator and that he loves you more than you can possibly imagine, and you believe honestly in your heart that Jesus was a living Son of God, that he lived a perfect life, that he died and rose from the dead, if you believe that and you repent of your sins, you're gonna be in eternity with this creator who loves you. And that's the reality of it. And anything that's opposed to that is going to be based in a short-sighted view. So I think the long-term view for the kids that I work with every day is vital. But the longer-term view is if we can change the realities, that's part of it. But if we can change their eternities, whew.
Sure. Well, and I agree with you that this path, that's the path to salvation. But one thing that I think I've struggled with in the past is, I don't know what, you know, if you call it a lazy Christian or what, is I would say those things, I would pray, show up to church even, but you couldn't tell during the week. You couldn't tell. I wasn't pursuing God's will, you know? And so I'm trying to understand what it is he actually wants of us, and then I'm trying to change my behaviors to reflect that. And then along the way, I'm asking these questions because I don't want to be a, you know how I'm running my mouth. I want to know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I want to know why I'm thinking that way and feel that way and be able to reinforce it and back it up in potential debate if I had to with those who disagree. And not to win the argument with them, but to hopefully open the doors, you know, for their faith. So anyway, that's why I don't want you to, man, I don't really care, honestly, what you think, but I don't want you to.
You care what I think. You don't care what a lot of people think.
Yeah, yeah. What I meant was I don't care, you know, you may or may not believe, you know, it's my personal relationship with God on why I would have these questions. And I'm very comfortable with that relationship, other than the fact that I feel challenged to improve. I think that I should be a better example, like I was just talking about.
So, Jerry, and then I know because Josh is tapping out. I say that trying to be good was the hardest thing I ever failed at. Like I tried. It's almost behavior modification where, I mean, the number of times I prayed, God, just get me out of this mess, and I promise you I wouldn't have been in the mess again.
Sure.
And so I was an ultimate failure at trying to modify my behavior to be good. And then I came to understand that good's not the standard. Perfect is the standard. And if I can't even be good, I ain't got a shot at being perfect.
Yeah.
And so enter Jesus. And the change of your heart, I said that you're reading the Bible, it can't be an intellectual exercise. It's got to be a transformative exercise. And that's through the power of the Holy Spirit. I couldn't. The devil's got jujitsu that can take your 7th degree black belt self outside the back door and whip you into eternity. The devil will win without the power of the Holy Spirit fighting for you. And with him, you're undefeated. So
apparently the angel of God will too. They're about to wrestle you down.
Facts. Ask Jacob, man. Yeah, facts.
All right. Well, again, Ed is with the Boys and Girls Club. It's the Big Hatchie.
The Boys and Girls Club of the Hatchie River region.
That's right. It's right here in Covington. So if you're around Covington, make sure you check them out, help them out. It sounds like he'd be glad to have you come by. Josh can throw his number up on the beginning part. And then, of course, we appreciate you taking time to watch our podcast and follow the stuff we have. Please check us out on YouTube. I'm trying to get our YouTube numbers up. Tell your Boys and Girls Club folks to follow us on YouTube. And then Michelle Allen is, if you're going to buy, sell, rent, lease real estate in the area, personal, professional, residential, business, commercial, whatever, she'll help you out. She's with Cry Like Realtors and is a good friend of the show. And then if you want to get some discipline, self-control, et cetera, we work on all those life skills as well as kicking and punching. Just visit masonsmartialarts.com. Two locations, one in Millington and one in Covington, Tennessee. All the instructors are trained by me, real good folks. Jam Books and Records is located in Covington. If you want to buy new books, records, signed memorabilia, Graded Comic Books, we're on the square in Covington, open 6 days a week, Jam Books and Records. And then if you want to maximize your health, she's been helping a lot of people. A lot of the women have had, we call it when...
Menopause?
Yeah, thank you. Menopausal issues. Josh knows. Holistic healthcare and hormones. And then if you need help with branding, marketing, designs, whatever, all the kind of stuff you want to do, just holler at Josh, MasonITeMarketing.com. Until next time, I hope you guys have a good week. I hope you get a little Jesus in your life too. And until then, keep kicking. Thanks for watching, guys. Just remember that this is not legal advice or investment advice or business advice. This is for fun and entertainment purposes only.